I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Rampage preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete on the Bloody Good Quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to tonight's episode of...
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number.
This is Rampage, baby. Seen a bit of an upturn in recent weeks, Rampage. It feels a little bit, in comparison, lackluster, similar to a Welsh performance against Iran in World Cup, for an example here, Sidge. But hell of a tag team title match to look forward to.
You have to feel for Wales. yeah, Rampage has been all right. Rampage has been all right. Been pretty good, actually. This week looks like a solid 7 out of 10 show, yeah. But... they've established a curve, and no offense to the performer in question who has a role just on, not on a national TV show main event, but when Ari Daivari headlined two consecutive episodes of Rampage, I was like, lads, what are we doing here? What on earth are we doing here? To go below that barely acceptable, bare minimum established. Well, every result is predictable. The main stars aren't on the show to 5.5 out of 10. What are you doing? But no, it has upturned, and there is a match here that I think I'm allowed to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I think will be good in spite of what will look like a scary moment that turned out not to be as scary as it initially seemed, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So obviously, normally when we do this, especially when Rampage is taped, is we avoid all spoilers to that, because otherwise this would be pointless. It's nice occasionally, though, of course, to get reports from people who went to the Dynamite and said, oh, check out this match. You know, they've got something really good to look forward to on Rampage, baby. But you couldn't really help avoiding the stories coming out of the match that we're about to preview, the ROH Tag Team title match, because... It's a relief that seemingly things are all right, but I got a point this week where I was like, bloody hell, Top Flight are bloody cursed, aren't they?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, to be fair, I barely read Rampage spoilers, but that's probably an indication that nothing's of interest enough to leak and sort of become these conversations that become hype and all the rest of it. But this one slipped out for obvious reasons. If you don't want to know literally anything, stop listening for the next couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. But I read on Twitter, oh my God, Top Flight are cursed. And I was like, oh, for God's sake, Darius Morton injured again. And it turns out this time it's Dante. It's like, can they get any luck whatsoever? Mercifully, I think it was Anthony Bowens on Twitter, it was asked, what's the status of Dante Martin? We haven't heard anything. We're all quite worried. And he said, thankfully, he seems to be okay. So that's something. And I don't know if the match just went unfolded and then it was revealed at the finish that something went awry during it, or if it was brought to an abrupt halt. I think the former. So, look, I think they've got away with doing a full FTR top flight match, and the injury that was apparent at the finish isn't anywhere near as serious as initially feared. So, yeah, it might be worth looking forward to. Certainly the promise of the match was, the announcement was, before we heard of the situation. And I expect it to be very good indeed, if in fact it's not really scary in the building, even if we have the knowledge that it hopefully is turning out to be okay.
Yeah.
You can... Like the dynamic's great. The contrasting characters are great. Both teams obviously are very, very good. One, at this point, are legendary. Mm. The other are just emerging, but very, very promising indeed. The styles and the way they approach tag team wrestling has that beautiful contrast. Mm. The anti-mirror match where, like, you can fantasy sequences here where Dax Harwood almost nopes some aerials or at least shows disdain towards them and kicks out of their early stuff, and then realizes, hang on, we can't deny their style because they're kind of kicking our asses with it. We know how these star versus prospect matches go in AEW at this point. Done well, they're fabulous and do a lot for the people who lose in defeat. So I do like the idea of Top Flight giving them a really close fight. Mm-hmm. FTR, who clearly don't like the style of wrestling, they market their brand around hating it, will at some point in the body of the match have to kind of put it over. So this should be good. It just literally depends on the extent to which it's cursed.
Yeah, exactly. When we saw them sort of previewing this on Dynamite, and they, FTR, were putting Top Flight over and basically saying, you're probably going to be tag team champions one day. I don't think that was any stretch of the imagination whatsoever, but I don't think it's going to be this match that they win any tag team titles.
No, me neither. Didn't have to read a spoiler report to determine that either.
No, exactly. But yeah, flippy guys and the big rig as a finisher. If, fingers crossed, touch wood, everything goes well, it could be an excellent, like you say, story told in this match, and the finish will be spectacular, of course.
Like the idea of Dante Martin doing that, somehow even more impressive than the usual variation, where he uses no hands to spring off the second rope to clear Harwood, then Harwood immediately doing a scoop snap suplex.
Yes.
Or a snap body slam. You know, the Goldust Dusty Rhodes one. yeah. Dustin Rhodes, Randy Orton thing. Scoop slam.
Scoop slam. Sticking with ROH, and I'll ask a more wide-ranging question on them in a second. We're hearing from Chris Jericho tonight. Is, because what, Death Before Dishonor is about 2 weeks away. Is tonight the night that we get the confrontation between Jericho and Claudio, or is this Jericho being, oh, bloody deal with you, Claudio, slapping the taste out of my mouth on Dynamite, because it feels like that's the direction they're heading for the Pape on December 10th,
I think. Yeah, I suspect we're actually going to get confirmation tonight. I think Wednesday functioned as the tease. Friday will be the confirmation, and then they'll build the match from there, recount the story. They've already told a pretty good one. I'm against champions losing, particularly when it's frequent. But in the parameters of this storyline, which I would describe as passable to good, not really essential, not something I'm ripping my goddamn cock off about, but the idea is that Jericho cheated Claudio out of the title at Grand Slam. Mm. In two subsequent tag team matches, Claudio proved himself to be the better professional wrestler in a fair fight by tapping out Chris Jericho twice, and it was only because Claudio had another person to swing and deal with in Sammy Guevara at
Full Gear
that he retained the title there. But they're telling an interesting wrinkle to the story that I think is going to have ramifications beyond it. And, you know, it's Rampage. We might as well talk about ramifications beyond Rampage because it's only Rampage. Jericho beat Ishii clean in the middle. And it's, incidentally, a great job that that match was so instantly wonderful, because I got a bit cross when I saw the graphic of, we hear from ROH champion Chris Jericho on Rampage, which is getting taped, and I know this, because it's like, well, any sliver of doubt that Ishii was going over has just been eradicated. But then that match was instantly so incredible that literally within a minute, I completely forgot that graphic had been updated. But, so they're telling the story that Jericho is not doing what he said he was going to do and is almost accidentally stumbling into being a credible ROH champion who has defended the title with the second most frequency of any former ROH world title. That's the benefit of television, of course. And has won the last two matches clean or cleanly enough. He certainly didn't cheat at Full Gear. It was just opportunistic. But he tapped Ishii clean. Now, I've noticed that they are teasing dissension between Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. I expect that to be the revolution program for Jericho after he loses cleanly to Claudio at Final Battle. And then they shake hands, and that's the code of honor. And Sammy Guevara, incensed, will confront Jericho about it and say, you've been telling me what to do for 3 years. You keep changing your mind. You don't really have my career progression in your heart at all. If you don't need me, I really don't need you. And then they can start a heated feud from there, finally drawing a line between the JAS and the BCC if Claudio wins what is quite literally the final battle. I expect that to be the case. Certainly, I hope it's the case, because the idea right now is not only stupid, but literally impossible if they are teasing this Jericho-Guevara dissension, with the idea being that Guevara will turn face. Isn't going to happen, nor should it, because after the good on paper, but ultimately too cheap to work idea of, I'm just going to snog me fit bed, heel turn. Everyone was saying, oh, they should turn him heel because of this. And then when he did it, it was like, that's not actually that good. It's very, very thin as an act. Are we ready for another Chris Jericho face turn? I'm probably not, if I'm being perfectly honest. I thought the first one was okay to a point, dragged it out too long. He's far better as a heel. But if they are going with Jericho Guevara, and what a rich story that is, considering it was a day one on TV association in AEW. There's loads of heft there, loads of material, loads of chemistry as the sex gods. Hopefully that is the case as opponents as well. Jericho would have to be the babyface, but I don't want to see him as a babyface if I'm being brutally honest.
Just a quick word finally on ROH before we move on to the other matches on this card. I think I read a report either earlier on today or certainly earlier this week that Tony Khan was thinking of sort of scaling back the amount of Ring of Honor on AEW television. Right thing, right decision for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if they can't get a streaming show and it appears to be up in the air, then yes. I personally think that there are enough AEW fans who will consume literally anything thrown at them, right? Who will defend even the worst stuff and say, let it play out. Like, not very discerning. That's fine. As long as they don't tell me not to be discerning, that's absolutely fine. I honestly think that the mere association of AEW will, if they run just YouTube exclusive angles, building to quarterly pay-per-views, that is not itself tenable. But if they start doing that next year before really making a decision, I think they'll get the same buy rates there or thereabouts. I truly do. And it has been an imposition on AEW programming. It really has. The way I put it in an article, and it's entitled 10 Genius Fixes Tony Khan Can Make to Bring Back the AEW Magic. If you can hop onto whatculture.com/WWE or whatculture.com/Michael_Sidgwick. That's my author page. The idea of ROH doesn't work in AEW, because AEW made ROH all but extinct in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's not as if ROH was this, like, ECW, right, didn't go out on a high at its peak, but it was so long, so influential, and the gap between its closing and its reboot, even though they botched it, the idea was still good enough to run with in the first place, that worked as a reboot, particularly because ECW and its inherent allure and its danger and its identity was so markedly different to WWE at the time that I can really see why they went with it and thought it was a good idea, even if, as with pretty much everything else, WWE botched it into oblivion. This is completely different. ROH died, RIP, when AEW formed. It had no unique selling point. It used to be the cult alternative destination for the best wrestling, right? NXT killed that off before AEW, before those initials were even uttered, if we're being brutally honest. It was salvaged as a legitimate drawing concern and buzzworthy brand because of the Elite doing their Elite stuff on ROH. The second that the Elite left, before Madison Square Garden, the secondary market collapsed. The brand itself collapsed because Bully Ray allegedly booked it into oblivion. Pre-pandemic, like, the seat maps and how many blue dots were on them on Twitter was a meme, something to laugh at. And then...
Who's booking all those seats, Christian?
I said that same joke and I loved it as well. Yeah. And during the pandemic, this annoys me as well, right? A lot of people were like, oh, it's an ROH. Yeah. Good on ROH for not running during a pandemic due to pure ethics. If they had a TV deal.
Yeah.
They would be doing behind closed doors tapings. Mm-hmm. So I'm not giving them credit for that, okay? But regardless, it died. It became a joke. Or if not a joke, then just something completely and utterly off the radar.
Yeah, afterthought, yeah.
When they eventually kind of tried to reboot it before it failed and Tony Khan bought it, the lasting memory of ROH, as much as Zombie League as Impact Wrestling has been, except less acclaimed somehow,
mm-hmm.
was of Control Your Narrative.
God.
Invading. At Final Battle 2021, I believe. So there is no prestige to the brand, nor did it shutter long enough for people to get nostalgic about what it used to be.
Yeah.
And even if it had enough time to develop that nostalgia and, oh, I miss ROH, and isn't it great? And it would re-enter the conversation on that basis. Unlike WWE and ECW, there is nothing differentiating AEW and ROH to feel like it's worthwhile to catch a different kind of audience. Mm. The whole thing's been a complete misfire. And the worst thing about integrating it into AEW television, right, apart from the fact that it just detracts from the AEW buzz,
mm-hmm.
Is that, I'm rapidly losing my train of thought because I've been on a rant, I apologize.
Yes.
If they were to reboot it as its own streaming service, they've botched that as well. The whole idea is, right, okay, if you're going to launch something, right, tease it,
yeah.
Tease it. Beforehand, make it go away. If you're going to reboot something, right, dissociate people from the memories of it. How can you launch something as a new thing that you should watch and get excited about if, A, you've already launched it, and B, nobody cares, really? I will have people saying, I care about ROH, actually.
Mm.
Everyone cares a little bit about something, right? And that might cover you, certain listeners, in this instance. I think the prevailing consensus is that they could have done without all of this. You cannot launch something that has been launched and that no one cares about that much. I wouldn't say a disaster. I've enjoyed when it's been put in front of me.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of this ROH stuff. Could I have lived without all of it all along? 1,000,000%. So I think it was David Bixenspan who asked Tony Khan, like, what is your take on the fact that the general consensus is no one that cares that much about ROH? And he came back with the numbers. And it's like, when you are associated with a major brand like AEW, you're going to get the trickle effect of those viewers just watching ROH. So those pay-per-view numbers really don't impress me at all. But he did indicate, yes, we'll reassess depending on the outcome of the streaming deal. I don't know how you concede that embarrassment.
Mm.
Or if you just have a heel win it off Claudio and burn the title or bin it. And then someone can say, one day, we'll bring this back. I think you just ultimately at this point, let it go away, quietly deactivate the titles, and then Tony Khan come out and say, look, billionaires will not do this. Sorry, I'm being like Michael Hampler here. Billionaires won't be self-aware and contrite about things, but he really just should say, look, I tried, maybe it was a misfire. They've always said, oh, the original incarnation of the Dark Order was a total misfire. We corrected it. There have been certain things on TV. Really didn't work. We're so glad our fans engaged with us and gave us their feedback. Put the fans over is a way to spin it. Of, look, the fans spoke. I didn't get the impression that they wanted a full ROH reboot on AEW TV. Ultimately, I'm here to service the fans. Enough of them spoke, and I listened. Maybe one day I'll try this ROH thing again. Make it seem like you did the fans a favor rather than you personally failed.
Yeah.
I should work for this goddamn company.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Returning to Rampage tonight, then.
Can I just say I don't want to, in case people think I'm angling for a job there.
Yeah.
After the day we've had in this office, we were born.
Hang on.
Oh, my God.
I'd never want to leave here.
Right. What a day so far. It's only just beginning. Let's return to Rampage, though, as I said. And singles action for Darby Allin after he had a great tag match with his granddad at the pay-per-view. I mean, it feels, you know, he's facing Anthony Henry. Like you say, this is old, good old Rampage. Cool. So Darby Allin's getting a very straightforward victory here. But it's always fun to watch Darby Allin. It's never like, oh, bloody hell, here we go. He just, it's like, no offense to Anthony Henry. I know he's done stuff in WWE, of course, and he looks very talented from the bits that I've seen of him.
He's one of the best guys on the indie circuit.
Yeah, but he ain't winning this match. And I'm not saying that, you know, he could put Anthony Henry with anyone and he'd put a banger on. But Darby Allin goes, yeah, if you said to Darby, you're going to do a one-minute match on Dark that we might not even air, to be honest, he'd still go, cool, can I jump off that up there? Yeah. He's someone you can never take your eyes off.
I think Darby Allin is the single most underrated professional wrestler on the face of the planet. I do. I don't think he gets enough credit for how great he is in the ring. Like, he's spectacular, but he's also unbelievably skilled. Got every single babyface characteristic you would want, at least as a performer. Let's caveat that. Explosive, unbelievable selling, generates tremendous excitement, but builds it in logical ways, like really logical ways. He knows exactly where to be, how to engineer these spots so that they feel like they've been arrived at organically. And we're probably not going to see the very best Darby Allin performance on Rampage, but it's one of those things, if someone like Defy booked this match and Darby Allin fancied working in this region of the state, this would go 18 minutes, it would be amazing. That ain't happening on Rampage. I hope it's long enough to, one, make my subjective viewing experience of it worthwhile. Two, people want to see the Workhorseman work FTR. If they can very gradually establish the Workhorseman in singles and tags as, oh, hang on, they're not just the geeks who have lost on the YouTube shows, and that's not, he's much better than he was in the Wingman. Very slowly build them, because I think they could be such a great asset, even if they are one of the better teams who lose. They absolutely, at a bare minimum, should be that. It's weird what Tony Khan's doing with them, but regardless, so I hope we see a longer match than this should be, given where the characters are at. The interesting thing is, who comes out to beat him up or challenge him or whatever, because this exists for another reason, as so much on AEW TV does. Who could Darby Allin feud with next, Wilborn? Because you're on a roll, so I want to hear this.
Ooh. Who's...
Because Jarrett and... They won that program, and now Jarrett and Lethal Singh and... Dud.
Yeah.
Are working the Acclaimed in a program now, which is weird because it's wrong, it's backwards, but whatever. This leaves Darby Allin something... He needs something to do. What is that thing? Is it the odd win? And Darby Allin's rising up the ranks, so they could do MJF Darby in the cycle between Revolution And now, after Starks, what do you think?
Well, I think I was trying to think of something there that had like a numbers game. So you get the winner is coming, Sting, Snow, all that sort of thing, because that's obviously, you know, a classic visual. So I'm like, okay, heel group, not got much to do. So I went to the Firm, obviously, and I went to Ethan Page because he just lost that you know, number one contenders match. And then
chemistry with Darby as well.
And I like that as a match as well. But then I also thought, really, 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 and maybe this is arguably more on Satnam Singh than on Darby, love watching Darby Allin work with big lads. So now I've gone to W. Morrissey.
Ooh. You know what, Wilborn? That's a genuinely, earnestly very good idea.
Hey, just call me Butter, baby. I'm on a roll.
This is not a gimmick. He is actually on a roll.
I don't know where I pulled this from. We've also got, what a turnaround, just as a sort of big picture stuff. What a turnaround for the women's division in AEW in recent months, because the amount of times we'd sit here and just lambast of like, well, oh, good for them. They're doing one thing around the title in the women's division. We've got Hikaru Shida in action. Big picture stuff. Obviously, you've got a heel champion, Jamie Hayter, even though she's very over with the fans, of course. Arguably, she's a heel, working with Britt Baker, etc., etc. You've got Saraya now, obviously, getting victories. Hikaru Shida in action implies Hikaru Shida's getting a three-minute victory on Rampage. But, yeah, the sudden, wait, you could do that match and that match and that match. And obviously, it's very sad to hear about Thunder Rosa having to vacate the title, but just cleaning all that up and having, like, Tony Storm's got an argument to make of, well, I want another go at that because I would have won if it hadn't been for all the bollocks interfering. Shida's great. Back in action tonight.
Yeah, this could be one of two. Ultimately, the destination here is going to be a pretty damn good, potentially even great singles match between Hayter and Shida. And as you said, there could be a different wrinkle in it if Tony Storm subsequently challenges Shida to make it a little bit more of an interesting path to get to winter is coming. Because, yeah, expect a big AEW women's title match to take place on that show. As you said, Wilborn, this is clear indication that Shida is the opponent or the red herring for the real opponent. She's going to be in and around it. At present, if it's just Shida wins someone, beats someone that she's always going to beat a million times out of a million in a matter of minutes because it's a woman's match on Rampage, and then she challenges Hayter, that's a bit dull. And it's a bit 2019 NXT for me. So I can't do cartwheels over it, even if the match will be good in the end.
But if you look forward to Winter is Coming and you say, keep Saraya, just keep her going, but not, we're not putting a big match for her on Winter is Coming. But you do a big Jade match, for example. You do Jamie Hayter versus Tony Storm 2, just as an argument. I was just looking there because I was going to play a game and we're still going to play it. But like, what, I mean, it's possible now for us to say they could just book something that's not title related and is a banger of a match. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Athena's heel turn on last week's Rampage. Shida, Athena.
The ROH. I was so chuffed and I went, oh, it's ROH stuff. I no longer care. That is the problem with this brand. I was thinking if it's going to be Athena heel versus Tony Storm, who showed great chemistry in the ring at Grand Slam, I was like, oh, not only is this an amazing angle, but it gives us a great match. That's what you want. Great angles leading to great matches. It's ROH stuff. I'm instantly not bothered at all. What was the actual question before I got cynical?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, if it hadn't been ROH, I was thinking Shida Athena as a really interesting, exciting match. But Athena's turn, you put this over
Shida,
on Twitter.
Shida Athena, right, on Dynamite next week, after Shida's victory here, and Athena has been obviously gaining momentum. Shida narrowly wins in a match that's laid out to flatter both women. The story is it could not have been any closer. She didn't steal one. She just hit the last second one. Then Athena, because this is her character now, just starts really beating up Shida. That draws out Mercedes Martinez. And I would really take it seriously that, right, okay, if Athena didn't quite make it to an AEW title match, her performance was so good that I can easily buy it in an ROH title match. Make it a bit more interesting and get more all-star matches on Dynamite next week.
But it's a mystery opponent, which means, of course,
it's time to play the game!
I have the AEW women's roster open in front of me. I'm going to scroll through it. You tell me when to stop, Sidge. Give me a number between 1 and 4. And that is our pick for who Hikaru Shida will face tonight on Rampage.
Stop. Two.
Right, we'll have to do this again because it's Jamie Hayter. So.
All right, okay.
Okay, I'm doing it again.
Stop. Four.
Rebel. One more go.
Look, Rebel popped me dead at full gear with an incredibly hammy. Ah! So, yes.
If not her, though.
Okay. You really don't want it to be. Even in this game, that's not going to happen. You don't want it to be. Even hypothetically, you do not want it to be Rebel. So, stop. Three.
This might happen, seemingly consistently on that page. Madison Rain again. Right. No. Final question for you, Sid. And often I send the notes over for this so we can do a bit of prep. I'm going to appear professional. I'm going to spring something on you here, Sid. And I do apologize for, really testing your journalistic abilities. As we always say, we are wrestling journalists here. We've always said that.
Yeah, we have.
But Michael Sidgwick, in advance of the six-man we're looking forward to tonight on Rampage, who runs the family office?
You could honestly rewrite parody lyrics to We Didn't Start the Fire to encompass this entire mess between Matt Hardy and Private Party and where we are now. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
On the spot, that would be rather impossible. But it's just this incredibly convoluted Dynamite. Hardy Party, Butcher Blade.
Yes.
Russian. Rush.
Yeah, Rush Family Office. He's in action with Butcher and Blade against the Dark Order tonight on Rampage.
Cool.
Who's winning?
I don't care. Look, I will take any interaction between the Butcher and John Silver. I expect this to be 3.25 stars. And I'm going to go, when the Butcher, impales John Silver or something.
Yeah.
The ghoul in me will like those interactions. The discerning wrestling fan in me loathes the story, holds no interest in it, wishes it would go away, cannot frankly believe how long it has been dragged out. And just wants to die.
Well, that's a bit of a damp squib of an ending for this podcast. So I got a DM earlier on this week, Sidgwick, from someone you may know this guy. This guy called Matt Reigns.
Oh, yeah. You know what Matt Reigns is?
What's that?
He's the number one Sidgwick mega fan.
So
he is an incredibly loyal, supportive, very, 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 very nice bloke.
Yes.
And I'll never, ever not appreciate him.
So he asked for the Rampage.
Even if sometimes I go an hour before giving my Dynamite score. Come on, man, I've got a job. I love you. I love him. Love him. But come on.
Yeah, so he asked for a return of the Rampage rap. And, I like to got to give the people what they want. But as you know, Sidge, I'm a very busy man. And sometimes I have to outsource some work. So I got a friend of ours to write the rap for me. I haven't seen it. I'm just gonna read it verbatim here. So hope this really makes your weekend, Matt Reigns. Back once again, it's the Rampage rap. Makes a comeback for that dumb piece of crap. I didn't have time to write or drop a bar, so Hamlet said, I'll give that something for his car. So we're all... With all our best to the number one mega fan, Sick Mac Cack, you pathetic little man. So I thought it was Hamlet who offered to write that for me. Oh, there you go, Matt Reigns. Ask and you shall receive.
You received.
I like that. I'll start challenging different people in the office to write me a Rampage rap. We're just joking, of course. Don't take it too seriously. Matt Reigns, I know, won't, but if people are concerned...
He's Banter Matt Reigns. Yeah, that's exactly his middle name, you know.
Is it?
Matt Banter Reigns.
That's his Twitter page changing today. Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of Rampage tonight on Twitter, at WhatCultureWWE. Whilst you're there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at...
M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilbourn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Hamlet have previewed SmackDown. You've got Wrestle Culture coming your way later on today, of course. And then me and Sidge will be back on Monday to review the events of AEW Rampage. And make sure you join myself and Hamlet on Saturday night for our live stream reactions to Survivor Series War Games. But for now, this has been the Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.